Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's pray. Our dear kind Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come and worship before you. We thank you for the Sabbath day. And we pray that as we enter into this time together, that you'll be in our midst by your Holy Spirit. As we open your word, that we can gain a blessing from it that will strengthen us for the week and the year that lies ahead, we pray. For in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I want to take you back in time this morning to a date that is the 28th of July, 1914. Anyone know that date? It was on that day that World War I would begin. Never had there been a war on such a scale before. And of course, there was the hope that at the end of this war, there would be ushered in a time of peace. The Great War, to them back then, the Great War was going to be the war that would end all wars. And for the men who were sent to the front, there was the promise that, hey, you'll be home for Christmas. It'd only be a minor skirmish. It'll soon be dealt with. And you can all go home for Christmas. Not to be. It was Christmas Eve, and the commander was looking out from the Allied side, looking across no man's land to the German side. And he saw a soldier there with a branch in his hand and candles. A bit different. And just as he was in the process of giving his men the command to shoot, he then heard the sound of singing and his soldier says, "Hey, calm down, listen." And then they heard 1, 2, 3, 4 people start to sing. And while I did not recognize the words, it was German. But soon they recognized the melody of the tune. And from that, they had what you would call the unofficial Christmas truce. Men from both sides came together in no man's land. There they would celebrate and remember Christmas. Change gifts. Share food together. Have a game together. And as far as the men at the front were concerned, war was a useless thing. They didn't want it any more than neither side wanted it. It was useless, pointless, stupid. For all of those men at the front, how they wanted to be home with their family. And then 24 hours later, making sure that both sides were back in their trenches, the commanding officers on both sides fired 3 shots with a pistol, and the war was on again. But you see, for those 24 hours, the war stopped. Why? What was the song that they sang? Silent Night. And as I think about the words for a moment, Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild. sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. The amazing thing is that the sound of this old carol was enough to stop a war for 24 hours. And if the men at the front had their way, then the stop would have been permanent. Today I have just one question, and that being, but what is the message of the old carol for this day? Can the words of this old carol still speak even today? I begin with the line, all is calm, all is bright. Think about it for a moment. All is calm. For the men at the front, how they would have loved to have seen calm. To have life without the stress of fighting in a fight that seemed to have no end. To be fighting in a fight that had no purpose. How they would have loved to have calm. And I'm sure that for us today, how we would also like to have calm in our lives. But you see, for us, the stress of life is real too. We can see things happening on every side and we wonder as to where it will all end. Can we have that calm? Can we experience that calm? I'm reminded of the words of Psalms 107. Come with me there. Psalms 107. Psalms 107, verse 29. Psalms 107, verse 29. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Isn't it beautiful? He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Psalms 89. Come with me there. Psalms 89. Psalms 89 and verse 9. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waters thereof arise, thou stillest them. How beautiful it is. It is to have a Saviour who can still the troubled waters of our lives. For the men at the front, it was a case of trying to bring in the calm with the aid of a gun. But with the one who is above all things, he is willing to do it another way. He wants to do it with love. That being was the giving of care. To be with those who are hurting, to share in their pain. And with such a Saviour beside us, we can know a calm that only He can give. I think of the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Come with me there. A very well known verse, Matthew 11 verse 28. Come unto me, he says. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I think of the words of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, a simple little verse, but it says so much. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Casting all your care upon Him. What beautiful words we read. What a promise. That Jesus is willing to give us peace. Jesus is willing that we can have calm in our lives. But the first step is that we are willing to let him take control of our lives and that we are willing to do the following. How the story of the Great War would have been changed if the men at the front were only allowed to let the Saviour of the world to have full control. What a different outcome it may have been. But then I go to the second verse of this carol. And in the second verse of the carol I read, "Darkness flies, all is bright." Darkness flies, all is bright. Have you ever stopped and thought about that line? Have you ever stopped and thought about and appreciated what the line is getting at? That the baby in the cradle was the light. That baby had always been the light, and with him there is no darkness. We know that God is light. And in the words, "I am the light of the world," Christ declared his oneness with God and his whole relation with the whole human family. You see, it was he, Jesus, who brought light out of darkness. He is the light of the sun, moon and stars. Light had been enshrouded in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Light blazed with awful grandeur from Mount Sinai. Light rested upon the mercy seat of the tabernacle. He was the spiritual light that in symbol, type and prophecy had shone upon Israel. I think that the following words, Psalms 27, come with me there. Psalms 27. Psalms 27, and in verse 1, the first part, I read these words. "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Simply put, but beautifully put. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Nothing in this world can match what the Lord is offering us here. He alone is our hope, and with him we all do have a future. For the men at the front that day, I wonder as to how many of them would have appreciated those words. To know that the Lord is our light, that our future is with him and not with the power of a gun. The power of a gun can only bring destruction. But with our Father in heaven, there is salvation. There alone is hope. Jesus also made the point on this matter. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Jesus made a statement in verse 12 when he said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You see, "I am the light of the world," he says. "I am the solution. Come to me, you will have peace. Come to me, you have a future." But the question is, how can I tap into that light? Psalms 119, come with me there. Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and verse 105. We have a beautiful verse. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What words we have here. And yet what a challenge to us each one. You see, in front of us we each have a Bible. We each can look at the Bible and read it. But do we appreciate that with these words, we do have the words of life? That we have before us that which will lead us to a closer walk with the one who alone can give life and light. And remember, he wants to do that for you. He wants to do that for you even today. But now we come to another line in the carol. In the third verse we read the line, Son of God loves pure light. Son of God loves pure light. Loves pure light. Come with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. As we consider that verse, Son of God loves pure light. In Isaiah chapter 7, in verse 14, I read, Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Then we come to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And in verse 21, we read, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. When was the last time you read these words and appreciated that in this story what we really have, really do have, is God with us? That the one who put all things into place was the one lying in the manger. Just as he was fully God, so he also became fully man. Will we ever understand it? Will we ever appreciate it? But the amazing thing is that by coming to this place and taking human flesh, he will forever be linked to us, the human family. He has never given up his human body. He forever will be one with the human race. He is the older brother for those who need one, and to him we can go to with confidence, knowing that he really does care. He really does care. I'm sure we all remember the words of John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. You know, in that verse there are two key words that we need to always remember. The first being love. Love. God so loved. God's love is amazing. Do we deserve God's love in any way? No. Can we ever earn God's love? No. But the love of God was so great is that he was willing to go the extra mile for a race that did not love him. God so loved. So loved. Then there was the second word. The word gave. Gave. For God so loved that he gave. More to the point is that God's love was so great that he gave the gift of Jesus to this planet forever. Forever. What an amazing love to have. And the love was demonstrated not just for the whole planet, but it is demonstrated for you and for me. God loves you. God loves you so much he wants to save you. And to get that point across, he was willing to give Jesus to you as a gift. It could be said that Jesus was the original Christmas gift. The gift of Jesus. What a gift it was. But in the fourth verse of the carol we read, Christ the Saviour is born. Christ the Saviour is born. Luke chapter 2, come with me there. Luke chapter 2. Picture this scene for a moment that we're going to look at. The shepherds are out minding the sheep that night. And then they have this rather rude awakening. Verse 10. Verse 9 we'll begin with. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Verse 10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. What a sight. What a sight that must have been. The sky filled with the singing of angels. The Saviour of the world had come. He had come. With him there was a future. With him alone there is hope. And with this event, the hope of the world had come. All the prophets had spoken of that day. But now it had come. What a moment for those living at that time. But now, let's read a bit further. Verse 17. Luke chapter 2, verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which was told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. What an interesting picture we have. While we see the great joy with the shepherds, as I spread the news, as I told others that, hey, there's a baby down there. It's our Saviour. Some wondered. Some were confused. Some doubted. Some believed. There was mixed reaction. And as we take in the scene, we cannot help but wonder why. Did they not understand that this baby was the King of Kings? Did they not appreciate that Christ the Saviour was born? But you see, the story doesn't end there. As wonderful as it may be, this story, but there are other parts to the story. Because yes, we do know that he grew up. He preached, he ended up on a cross, but we also know that he arose on the third day. We also know that he is in heaven. But there's something else we need to remember too. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And in verse 7, the first part we read, Behold, He cometh. the clouds, and every eye shall see him. He is coming. He is returning. That's our hope, isn't it? Jesus is coming again. He is coming to take us all home. And to all of us is given a chance to be a part of that event. You and I can be there too, if we only give our hearts to him fully and completely. Last month, on the 11th of the 11th of the 11th, we paused and remembered all who gave their lives in the Great War. The men and women who gave all that we might live in freedom. In that war, in that Great War, it is recorded that over 15 million lives were lost for you and me to live in freedom. Here in Australia, 60,000 lives were lost. All were given in the belief that they were giving to us the gift of freedom. All were given in the belief that after this war, there would be no more wars. The world would now be at peace. Alas, it was not to be. It would not be long after the end of World War One, that soon the guns would again be putting out bullets for World War Two. And there has been many, many wars between then and now. The fact is, the world is not at peace. Far from it. But just as we pause and remember those who gave their lives in war, so may we this Christmas pause and remember the greatest gift of all. That God so loved, he gave to you and to me, Jesus, that we might have hope. That's a special gift, don't you think? That's our gift from heaven. Let's pray. Dear kind Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the wonderful event that took place and for the hope that we now have. As we leave this place, dear Father, may this hope forever burn within our hearts. Until that wonderful day when we will see our Saviour and our King. May that day come soon, is our humble prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen.